Hey everybody, welcome to Talking Some Sens. Welcome to episode 6 of the second series of this podcast. Today you're joined by myself and a new part-time co-host, Nick Dumoulin. Introduce yourself.
Hey dude, how's it going? Yeah, so obviously super, super happy to have you be a part of this show. You've been on ours and, you know, you're a producer here at New Era Sens, so it's nice to, you know, have a little change and come on your podcast for once.
Yeah, it's nice to sort of join forces a little bit. So Nick and I met through New Era Sens. It's a new project started up by a couple friends of ours, and we've become pretty good friends with it. Thanks to that. Joining me on my podcast, and he will be a part-time co-host. What this means is that whenever Alex is not able to join, or if I'm not able to join, Nick can fill up for one of us. Alex is not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. Nick is just an added talent onto our roster, if that makes sense. All right. So with that being said, let's get right into the content. So this week we've got the last 2 weeks. We don't have too much to talk about, but there's still a nice little show for you guys. So we'll start off with the Michael Haley signing. That feels like forever ago. It was only 2 weeks ago. And he signed a one-year $700,000 two-way contract, which brings him $700,000 in the NHL, $200,000 in the something like that. He's making $200,000 in the AHL or something like that.
But yeah, and $700,000 in the NHL.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. So yeah, in 270 NHL games, he has 687 penalty minutes. That's like almost 3 penalty minutes per game, which is ridiculous. Is that math adding up, or am I like not awake yet?
yeah, somewhat. Seems close enough.
Yeah, in the math I did a little while ago, he averages from, I just took all his penalty minutes per season and averaged them to 82 games. He averages 208 penalty minutes per season.
Yeah, that's
which
wild.
Is ridiculous. So what are your thoughts on this signing?
Well, listen, I think we have so much depth that I don't necessarily know if he'll play in the NHL. Like, I think if he does play in the NHL, that's just taking a roster spot from a young guy. Obviously, you don't want to play your prospects on the fourth line either. So to have a guy be able to play in that role, well, I mean, it's great. And I don't think he's worth anything more than just, you know, make sure to protect our young guys. And I think that's why they grabbed him, that you know, he'll make sure that the other team doesn't really take a run at our young prospects. And he's obviously a good leader as well. There was a little video of him when he was with the Sharks. He was mic'd up and he was on the bench and, you know, obviously not a big flashy guy, but is still a very vocal leader on the bench. And that's what I really enjoyed listening to. I could send you a link after we could post.
Yeah, you should really send me that. I'll try to post it in the podcast episode link. But yes.
It was pretty awesome to hear, though, because I never heard of him up until that point. And then, you know, I was really impressed because I didn't even know who this guy was, and he sounded like a real leader. So check it out.
See, I've heard his name thrown around the NHL multiple times in the past, but like I kind of forgot who he was like before you signed. Like I hadn't heard him in a while, but I like his signing. I don't think he's going to be a regular NHL player. I think he's more of an AHL signing to protect the Stars. What I think is going to go on this year is that the most of the prospects will stay in the AHL this year and contend for another playoff run and make the Calder Cup playoffs and hopefully win it. I think that's what's going on. I think the Senators want to give the young guys some playoff experience, even though if it's not NHL, it is AHL. It'll suck. It's going to take a year off their development. It might take a year off their development, or if you look at it the right way, it could give them more experience and more time to bolster the game. And I feel that it'd be a great idea, honestly, if you bring the core guys all in at once instead of transition. It'd be definitely a very interesting move. And I think that's what's being considered at this point in time. I think that Michael Haley is a guy who will protect those young guys and can play an NHL game here and there if needed. You know, he's a guy that can, that we don't need to pass on the waivers. If there's an injury, we can bring him up, play him fourth line minutes and just send him back down whenever someone gets back to health. You know, I think that's what it is there.
It's a good point that you make about, you know, I do firmly believe that the prospects this year won't all be in Ottawa. Like, I just have the sense that, you know, with the Galchenyuk signing, a few other guys like Brown, Goodbranson, Just these things, these guys that we brought in, it just goes to show that I don't think they plan on having too many rookies make the team this year. And I, you know, it's gonna be a different year because the virus. You know, we might see a Canadian division. It won't be business as usual. And I think, you know, they were really hoping for some success in Belleville, and you could see the chemistry really, really building. And, you know, in a down year like this, where we probably won't be too successful in a Canadian division, having them all stay in Belleville and develop that chemistry a bit more, and you know, have more playing time in you know, against pros, and even, you know, bring in other guys. Maybe Lassie Thompson makes an appearance at the end of the year, something like that. But I think that's the plan, and you know, I think they proved it with the Galchenyuk signing. And for me, I would only expect Batherson and Stützle maybe to make the team this year.
Yeah, I think it's a very fair assessment. I think that, like, ideally, everybody would be playing in the NHL this year right now, but I feel like last year was unfinished business with the season being cut short. I really feel that, like, the original plan was have the guys all come in this year or transitionally come in, start coming in this year. But I feel if in unforeseen circumstances we're in right now with this crazy pandemic and crazy year, I think that that we're trying to that the Sens are trying to ease the prospects in slowly, but like also have them create more chemistry in the AHL. So when they do that transition to the NHL, it's more seamless, you know?
Yeah,
And
for sure.
I think that for sure we're going to see some guys up and down the NHL lineup throughout the year. I think that Josh Norris can get some NHL time. I think that Batherson's going to see some NHL time. But if they're not ready, easily throw them back down the NHL, the AHL. For sure, I want to see Drake Batherson play first line minutes in the NHL, but I only want to see if he's ready to. If he's ready, sure, for sure, bring him to the NHL, keep the NHL, give him a couple games, and if he's ready, let him take that and run. If not, you know, you can drop him down in the AHL for a little bit longer. And all these signings that the Sens have been doing, I think it creates more a competition, not unhealthy. Like it creates a healthy competition. Like we know that this is their team for the future, but for right now, if they're not ready, they're not ready, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And we'll see what they decide to do. But I know that there's some guys who this is their year to make the NHL. Like, I think, like, Logan Brown last year, you know, him and his agent were pretty out there about the fact that, you know, they weren't agreeing with how the Sens were developing him. I think there was a little case about that last year. So I'm sure he thinks of himself as an NHL ready, NHL capable centerman. So I think for him and guys maybe like Batherson as well, maybe even Formanton, based off, you know, how long he's been in the in our depth. Like, I just see those guys really trying to make a push and thinking that they belong in the NHL. So I'd be shocked to see if Batherson doesn't get a full-time position. I think he's earned it. Logan Brown might think he does, but you know, that might not be the actual case because we're so loaded in centers right now. And
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
they want to take their time with him. So we'll see, dude. But it'll be cool to see. I'm really excited, man.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel that that you mentioned Logan Brown. I think it's very important to mention that he does have a new agent. He has since
Yeah.
moved on from that agent. I think that relationship there wasn't going very great between his old agent and the Senators. I feel it was time to make a change. And I don't want to compare this to Jesse Puljujärvi at all in Edmonton, but I think it's sort of seeming to be a similar situation where the player is starting to be a little disgruntled, or at least seems disgruntled, and the agent is sort of milking that. I feel like I think that's changing agents is going to help avoid that. Sure, Logan Brown wants to play in the NHL 100%, but I think he has to realize that he has to earn it. And he's played great in the AHL, but like to play in the NHL, he has to beat out the other guys. And I don't know if he's ready to do that yet. And I'm not necessarily as high on Logan Brown as other people are. I think he can definitely be a great NHL player, bottom six for me. I think that's his role there. He's a great player, don't get me wrong, but I don't think he's like a top six guy like a lot of people seem to think.
Yeah, and I think it's just the potential, you know, when we drafted him and the fact that he hasn't really lived up to that hype so far is what is, you know, getting people to think he's a bust. But he's not by no means a bust. Like, that guy has played very well for Belleville. He's done very good, and you know, he's been eating those top line minutes in Belleville, and he's been playing, you know, as a big role for that team. And I think if he can translate that into the NHL, well, then all the best. But he hasn't been so far. So people are so quick to you know, get mad at him, and they're so impatient just because he was a first rounder, and they assume it should be quicker than what it is. But it's not always the case. But like you said, dude, he's with a new agent, Jeff Jackson. And actually, fun fact about that, his father, Jeff Brown, played with Jeff Jackson back in the Nordiques in the day. So that's a cool little connection. And we'll see if that does anything different. But I think it all falls back on Logan and how much he wants it. And he needs to prove it.
That's actually really cool. I didn't know that. But yeah, yeah, let's move on from that. Let's talk about some rumors and trades and all that. So I could have missed something, but from the last episode, I haven't seen any Ottawa Senators trades. Have you seen any?
No, nothing so far.
Yeah, perfect. So yeah, let's go on to rumors. For the last month, or if it feels like me even longer, ever since free agency opened up, there's been rumors about the Ottawa Senators trying to sign Corey Perry. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's actually a bit surprising that some of these guys are still on the market. Like, I think Hoffman hasn't signed either yet. So I don't know the idea of what these players have ahead of this season. It's interesting to see that the Sens are interested. Personally, I'm not a fan of Corey Perry. And I do think bringing another guy that's going to eat up some minutes is still taking away from a spot for your rookies, you know. And yes, you could argue that injuries might, you know, help a rookie come in and take that spot away, sure. But at the same time, I feel like you need to at least give those rookies a chance. And you can't rely on the fact that, okay, these guys are going to be out of the lineup or whatnot. And I think adding Corey Perry would just take away a position for one of our young guys. And I agree, Corey Perry, he's a winner. He's a proven vet in this league. Obviously a terrific player as well, but personally, I'm not a huge fan. So I have a hard time being a fan of the Sens wanting to sign him, just based off my personal view. But I could see why he's tempting to the Senators and for a lot of Sens fans. And honestly, I think I'd grow on the fact that he's a Sens, and I wouldn't be too mad, but I just wouldn't want to see that happen.
Here's my thoughts. The thing of Corey Perry is, why would he want to go to Ottawa? Like, his last year was like, he had just gotten bought out from the Anaheim Ducks. And, and I feel like this year was really his prove that you can still play in the NHL this year. And that's what exactly due to the Dallas Stars. He proved himself that he can still play in the NHL. He can still be a capable player. And I don't feel like playing in the Ottawa Senators lineup is any very beneficial to him. At his age, he wants to win the Stanley Cup. He really wants to contend. He almost won the cup last year. And I feel like just having played for the Anaheim Ducks, I guess this is really taking a shot at the ballpark, but if you think of back in 2007, the Ottawa Senators played against the Anaheim Ducks in the Stanley Cup final. Sure, mm-hmm. He wasn't, maybe he wasn't on the team. I don't remember if he was on the team or not, but according to the stats here, he wasn't. But this is, I feel like, I don't really know where I'm going with that. I don't think it's a great match. Just based on, yeah, for the Sens, based on his age, based on his accolades so far. He's a great player. Don't get me wrong. He's done great things in NHL. I just don't feel he really belongs in this rebuilding mindset. I think he belongs as a middle six player on a contending team. Ideally a third line scorer, but you can throw him up the lineup if you need to for scoring in case of injuries and all that.
Yeah. He did play for the Ducks when they won the cup. I think, yeah, he was drafted in 2003. And it's,
yeah, I know he was drafted in 03. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at what was it, 2006, 07, or is it 07, 08? I can't remember.
It was 06, 07. Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, I get what you mean. And you look at the Sens, they want to get bigger, they want to get tougher, they want to get grittier. Like, you've seen this with a few of their signings. And I don't know, man. Like, how many of those guys do you really need at this point? We have a hell of those guys. Like, we just got Josh Brown. We got good Brants, and these are two tough defenders to play against. Like, these guys are huge, okay? We obviously have Brady Tkachuk. Even our rookies, dude. You bring up Alex Formanton, Drake Batherson. These guys aren't scared to, shove a guy off the puck and get into the dirty areas. You look at Formanton, that guy loves to start stuff, on the ice. He loves to chirp. So, I just don't know how many more guys you need that are like that. And Corey Perry, if you look at a guy who likes to stir things up, that's the guy to do it. I just don't see that being a player that the Sens really need. But who knows? I think the Sens are done for the moment, but it'll be interesting to see because there's still a lot of guys out there. And we did mention Hoffman earlier, and there's a cool little fact about him. He might be signing with a KHL team. So I don't think anybody would have predicted that at the start of free agency. But it's cool to see, I guess, that Hoffman is still a very, very good player, and opting out to go play in the HL. KHL might be an option for him. That's pretty interesting, and we'll see what happens with that. But just going back to Perry, dude, I don't think the Sens are gonna go that route.
Yeah, I feel like you mentioned some really great things there. For example, I feel like, I don't know if you said it exactly, but I feel like you sort of compared Brady Tkachuk and Corey Perry. While they're not the exact same player, I think it's definitely a warranted discussion that we had. Like, Brady Tkachuk stirs the pot. He is a very physical player, but he can also score goals and be a very offensive player. And that's exactly what Corey Perry is. But while Corey Perry might be a little more dirty, I feel like Corey Perry is a very physical player who can also score a goal. And how many players of that do you need in a in like you're, we already have Brady Tkachuk. We have Austin Watson. We have a lot of mentors. I feel like now we got to start injecting slowly some players in the lineup. Sure, it's great to have mentors, but who are the mentors going to mentor? Are they
Exactly.
mentors or young guys, you know?
Yeah.
And
And
like the
I like that you point that out. I think, what we're lacking right now is skilled players.
Yeah.
So to have a guy, like a flashy guy like Stützle make the team, or have a guy like Norris, a bit more skilled, obviously. I think that's great because then you give the chance to those gritty guys to do their job. Like right now, yeah, they'll still be doing their job, but I think for the most part, they came onto this team, being told that their job is to protect these players. And I mean, you're not really doing your job if these players aren't playing. So, with that being said, I think the plan is to still have some players make the team this year, maybe not many of them. But we'll see, and I would expect at this point that some of our rookies are playing in full time.
Yeah, exactly. I feel it's a great thing. And before we move on, I just wanted to mention that the KHL team that Hoffman might be signing with is, like, I think it's CSKA Moscow or something like that, or SKA or whatever it
Yeah, yeah,
is.
yeah.
Yeah. But also, another thing is, who would you rather have, a Corey Perry or an Anthony Duclair? 10 times out of 10, Anthony Duclair.
Yeah.
Exactly. So with that being said, let's move on. Let's talk about the reverse retro jerseys. So on November 16th, every single team in the NHL revealed the reverse retro jersey. So with the reverse retro jerseys, for those who don't know what they are, is a spin on the past, remix for the future. Basically, what they did is they took an old jersey from a team, and they changed it up and reversed it in a way to make it different, to make it new. For example, the Senators, they took the 1992 jerseys, but they flopped the colors around. And I think it's a really, really, really nice look. And if you For those who feel that they're too similar to their new jerseys, I'll counter with this. The reverse retro jerseys have been in the making for a good 2 years now. And 2 years ago, who was the CEO of the Senators? Tom Anselmi. His project was to rebrand. As what it looked like, the Senators were looking to go with a O logo. Like, if you look at the Winter Classic jersey of the last time we went to the Winter Classic to Montreal, or if you look at the 2011, 2017 alternates, that was going to be a look at the future look that the Senators were going to do under Tom Anselmi. And of course, he's not part of the team anymore. And the new 2D jerseys have been only been a mix for a couple months now. So The reverse retro jerseys have been in the making since a lot longer, so it's not very that they weren't copying new jerseys, and I don't think the new jerseys were copying the reverse retros. I think it's just something that complemented each other, if you will.
Yeah, and I mean, look, normally I would have something to complain about, but this year we were blessed with the return of the 2D and obviously two jerseys, which is incredible, and now a third, which is obviously unbelievable because if you asked me last year, I would be like, yeah, there's probably no way that this is gonna happen. As a Sens fan, you're probably just destined to believe the worst of it all. But yeah, we were blessed with great jerseys and the logo making a return. So I don't really have much to complain just because I'm not gonna play that card. But at the same time, like I do wish they might have done a few things different with the reverse retro, maybe add a little bit more white. Or, we used to have our away jersey with the black sleeves. I'd like to see like a different version of that. Maybe the black sleeves on the red jersey with a little bit of white outline. I did see a few mock-ups of that, and they look really, really cool. But I'm not gonna complain, dude. They look awesome. I love that they brought back the red 2D logo, the original logo, and with the shiny gold on there. It's sweet, and they're doing their job just by the fact that I'm gonna still get one, and I mean, I think that's the case for a lot of people. I mean, they can complain all they want, but they're still gonna go out and buy it. So, I mean, who's really winning here? And I think the Sens really know that they did a good job regardless, and I'm happy, dude.
Yeah, exactly. I really, really like the reverse retro jerseys. Like, I feel like, sure, they're similar to the new jerseys, but it was unintentional. I think it's just we got three great looking jerseys in the same offseason. We got the new home jerseys, we got the new away jerseys, and we got the reverse retro jerseys. And who knows? I think actually these might be a long-term alternate jersey for Senators. They're super, super nice and they're very sleek. And in my opinion, they're one of the best executed reverse retro jerseys in the NHL. While I might be biased as a Sens fan, I'm really a big fan of these jerseys. Before we move on to the other home jersey, we're gonna review that because mine came in. What is your top three and bottom three reverse retro jerseys?
So my bottom three, the ones that I'm pretty disappointed with, would be the New York Islanders, the Detroit Red Wings, and the Dallas Stars. No, like okay. The reverse retros, like overall, the jerseys are awesome. I love the jerseys for every single team. And that's not to knock on those three teams because I still really enjoy the Islanders jersey. I just don't think, it's retro enough, or they didn't do enough with it. Same thing with Detroit, but I do understand Detroit is very limited. They only have two colors to play with and so many designs to incorporate. So obviously there's not much they could have done, and I understand that they still work. I think for a lot of people, they're just underwhelmed, and a little bit more creativity could have gone a long way. Those are my bottom three. My top three would definitely be Washington number one. I really do enjoy their jerseys. Like I love that jersey back in the day. It gives me throwback Ovi vibes. But I love the fact that they incorporated their original color, their colors, their modern day colors. And I love the red and the white and the blue. I think it works well with that logo. And yeah, so I would put the Capitals number one. My second favorite would probably be LA. I love those jerseys in that color. I think LA should go back to those colors full time. I've talked to a few LA fans, and they agree with that as well. I think a lot of people want to see that, but I think it's because the Lakers are so similar, right? But if you remember, the Lakers took those colors from LA, from the Kings. The Kings had those first. So I mean, I would love for them to go back to those colors just because that's, for me, that's vintage LA, and that makes them so much more cooler. And my third favorite, yeah, that's a tough one because I know this one a lot of people aren't a fan of. But I do really, really enjoy the Anaheim Ducks. I love the font on the back, and I think that's really cool. Maybe a little bit more color would have been cool to see, but I'm a fan of that, and I can't wait to see them in a full uniform on the ice. But it's just so different than everybody else. And I think nobody has a jersey like that. Maybe Arizona with their new reverse retros and the cactus at the bottom and stuff. It's a little bit more playful, I guess. But I do really enjoy the Anaheim Ducks jerseys. And you know what? That's my opinion. People may disagree, but that's fine.
I like your ranking there. I missed the one of the three teams for the bottom three because I was actually going to grab my Sens jersey for review after this. But I'm gonna go with my bottom three. My bottom three are the Detroit, in no particular order. The Detroit Red Wings, the New York Islanders, and there's one more. One sec. And the what were yours again?
Oh, I had Detroit, New York Islanders, and Dallas Stars, but
Oh yeah,
I
Winnipeg
would.
Jets. That's
Oh,
it,
okay,
Winnipeg Jets. Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
yeah, they could have done a lot
yeah.
more with
Like
that.
they're not bad. Don't get me wrong, but like they don't scream reverse retro to me. They're super nice. Like they're nice. They go back to the old logo for sure, but they like it's just it's a little too plain for me. And I'll explain it. Like I don't hate the jersey, but it's just so many jerseys were so well executed in my opinion. I just feel it's I had to rank one at the bottom three, and that's one for me. For example, like if you look at Columbus's, I like that they switched to the red and the blue. I really like that. It's nice. And the New York Islanders, it's not that it's not a nice jersey. It's just it's way too similar to their current homes. It's not a bad jersey at all. It'd be a nice home jersey, but it doesn't. It's just not retro at all. Sure, they went for the back when they were when they were dominant look, but like. At least do a different logo, you know. It's just that they've had so many different jerseys in their past, and I feel like New York Islanders is known for ugly jerseys. Bring one of those ugly jerseys back just for the sake of bringing it back, you know. Like embrace your look, you know. And I really like that the like I like the thought of having that. It's like that jersey is not an ugly jersey. It's too similar to your home jersey. Winnipeg Jets, I love that logo. I like the colors. I just feel like the logo is a little blends a little too much into the jersey. But other than that, that's my opinion on the Winnipeg Jets jersey. And for the Detroit Red Wings, it's like it's I don't hate the jersey itself. It's a very, very plain jersey, and like they were limited with what they were able to do, but like I feel like they could have done something else. Like if you took the old jerseys with the like the D instead of the logo, I think they could have done something like that. It's not a bad jersey, but it's too simple. I like the jersey itself, but not for a first jersey. I would use that as an away jersey. Like I mentioned on the new Arisons podcast that it is a nice jersey as an away jersey because it's not white. It's not too simple. It's gray. I feel if they incorporated that into an away jersey, it'd be super nice. That's my thoughts on that. And for my top three, I'm gonna go. My list changed constantly. I know I gave a different list on a new Arisons podcast, but so many jerseys are so nice. I'm gonna go with the New York Rangers, the Montreal Canadiens, and the Ottawa Senators. I know I'm very biased saying the Ottawa Senators jerseys are the best, but just I love them so much. Like there's so many great jerseys. I really like the Vancouver jersey. I like the Colorado jersey a lot. I love that one a lot. I really like the Anaheim jersey too. The Vegas Golden Knights is really nice in my opinion. I love the Calgary Flames jersey and everything. There's so many nice jerseys, but for me, the Sens, the Montreal Canadiens, and the New York Rangers stick out the most to me. I love the Lady Liberty logo. I love that look. It's a very, very nice blue. Same thing for Montreal Canadiens. I like that they switch the colors around. Like the Montreal Canadiens are very limited what they do because they've always had the same jerseys pretty much, right? So I like that they just flip the colors. That's super nice. And the Sens jerseys, I just fell in love with it. Like it's so nice.
Yeah, and I think my opinion is also going to change once I see them in person and on the ice, full geared. So there's still time for that. But yeah, interesting choices, and I think a lot of people will agree with you as well. And it's so crazy because everybody I've talked to about the reverse retros, they all have different opinions. So I mean, there's not one that really stinks. Maybe there's a couple that many people don't like, but I think overall. The opinions are so well received, and I think it's easy for a lot of people to have different top threes, and I think that's a good thing for the NHL. Having people, be a fan of different jerseys and, buying different jerseys from different teams. Like, for me, I'd personally buy an LA Kings jersey, no problem. So I think that's great, and I think it's a good thing for the future of the NHL to have people, pay attention to other teams and such.
Yeah, exactly. I like so many jerseys are so well executed. I'm probably gonna buy a couple jerseys at some point. They're really nice. I'm gonna definitely be buying the Senators jersey. I'll probably get Stutzla on that one. I like the LA one. I might buy that one. I really also love the Colorado one. I might get a MacKinnon one for that. And let's move on to actually reviewing my new jersey, the 2D home jersey. Did you get one yet? Or no, not yet.
No, so I asked that for Christmas from my parents. I was like, you know what? I don't really know what I want, but those came out on time, and that was a pretty easy decision. So,
Fair enough.
yeah, gonna get that, I think.
So I'm gonna review the jersey really quickly. Are you able to turn your video on really quick so you can take a look? Actually, my camera's not working, so never mind on that. So looking at the jersey here. Pros, I love the black, like the black background. It's super nice. I like the feel of the logo. It doesn't feel cheap at all. It's nice and embroidered on nicely. I got Kachuk on it. I really like the player font, the name on the back. I like the look of the numbers on the back. On the sides, the numbers look a little printed to me, but that's one little thing I'm not too fond of. I like the collar on it. I love the logos. I like everything. I love everything about this jersey except for the numbers on the side of the shirt. That's my only criticism.
Yeah, and I mean, Adidas makes really, really good jerseys, so obviously the quality is going to be there. But first thought, just looking at the new jerseys, I am in awe. Like that's my favorite jersey. That's my childhood. That's everything I've ever wanted. But I am a bit upset that they didn't keep the red 2D logo with the cape there. I would have loved to see that. I mean, I do like the gold. It's a little touch of modern and a little bit of change. But I think the Sens don't use enough gold to, add that on their logo in such a prominent way. I mean, it's not a big difference, but I think for a lot of Sens fans, it is a minor detail that a lot of them would have liked to see, stay. I would have loved to see the red and, the original gold on there that we see in our reverse retro. It's a little different too. But overall, I'm a huge fan and I can't wait to see it myself.
Yeah, it's really nice. I really hope you do get the jersey eventually because it's, in my opinion, the nicest jersey in the NHL right now. Of course, I'm very biased as a Sens fan. Like, I'm in love with the jersey. And I will take this moment to add that I never really hated the old now 3D jersey. I really like the logo. It just the 2D logo is 100% superior to the 3D. I don't hate the 3D. I really like the 3D. I like the look of the jerseys too. I understand it, not everyone felt that way, but I just really liked it. I'm pulling a card out of Alex's book, and I'm being very, very optimistic here. It's nice to be a Sens fan. And on that, let's move on to our next topic. Stutzla, Timmy Stutzla is skating now, and this happened I think last week or a week before, but he's finally skating and he's coming back from injury, and he is going to be playing for Team Germany for the World Junior Cup. He was added to the 27-man preliminary roster, I think it was, and I think it's great for his development. And there's been videos of Timmy Stutzla, the little documentary, the 24 hours before being drafted and stuff like that. Do you want to comment on that? Because I actually haven't seen the videos yet. I haven't had the time to. I've been just so busy. I have to get
Well,
watching them.
hey, look, first of all, the video is awesome, and I think, a big takeaway from it is that there's a lot of memes that you could use from that video. But on the other hand, it was a cool look, I think, for a lot of Sens fans who want to learn a little bit about Timmy. He is from Europe, right? So a lot of Sens fans here, they've just seen highlights on YouTube. They don't know much about him other than, you know, his World Junior appearance and his YouTube highlights, right? So getting a in-depth look of him just on a regular day. Obviously it's the NHL draft, but seeing him with his family, how he is at home and with his teammates, I think that was a really nice look, and I think it gave a little bit of an understanding to a lot of fans who don't really know his personality that much. And obviously he seems like a great kid and he's a proven winner. He wants to win. He you know, his teammates said like that guy, he comes in and he practices super hard, and what a great kid to have on your team, you know. And they all said that they'd be upset that he's leaving, and his mom said, yeah, it's nice to share the NHL draft day with all the friends and teammates and such, but it is like a mark of goodbye here. Like Timmy's getting drafted and all of his teammates in Mannheim are here. So that's pretty much a saying like, okay, this is the next step for him. So I think the plan is for him to still play in the NHL. And I got those vibes from watching that video. He does seem to really want to play here. So I hope contract talks are going along. Obviously, they still have to release get a release from Mannheim for him to come sign here. I think that's the plan though, and I don't necessarily see him playing the World Juniors if Sens open their camp a bit earlier than that. I think the plan would be for him to come here. He has been skating, right? So like you said, he's gonna get better, and you know, it's all about getting back in shape and being on the ice and making sure that hand is well rested. But I would put a bet that he's in the camp for the Sens, and he makes the team out of the first night. So yeah, man, you should really watch that video. I think you'd really enjoy getting that view of him on draft day.
Yeah, I'll be for sure watching that video as soon as I'm done recording and editing this podcast. Just haven't had any time yet. But yeah, I feel that that you really said a lot of great things about Stützle there. I think Stützle is the franchise player for the Ottawa Senators. I love Thomas Chabot and I love Brady Tkachuk. They're going to be the leaders. But I think the face of the franchise is now Timmy Stützle. He will be the best player on the team, and probably once it's all said and done, he will line up to be one of the greatest Senators in franchise history. Is
Hey,
that too much high price for an 18-year-old? Maybe. But I'm just being extremely optimistic here. I am a big fan of Timmy the Superstar, and I will be buying his jersey the second I can. I
oh
love
yeah,
Stützle.
and I love the point that you make that he's the face of the franchise. But you know what, dude? This is the take that I have, is that we drafted Chabot, what, 18th
Yeah,
overall?
18th overall, 2015.
Exactly. And look at him. He's the face of our franchise at the moment.
Oh,
I
for sure.
would
He's
argue
our
this
best
year.
defenseman and
Exactly.
will be probably one of the best players
So
on the team for a long time.
I love the fact that, yeah, Timmy, you know, high draft pick, you could argue that he'll for sure be the next franchise player for us. But we've been so good at drafting that I'm not surprised that one of these guys that we'll pick up, maybe, you know, even further down the line in the next few drafts, that some guy could take that spotlight from Stützle. And it's not to knock on him because he's a terrific player, but it's just to say that these kids work so hard, dude. And I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, we grabbed another one of those guys. And especially if you look at it in the sense that we're playing in a Canadian division next year, we might not, you know, have the best year, and we might comparable to the other Canadian teams. I just don't see the Sens being that much better, and I don't see them finishing at the top of the standings in a Canadian division. So with that being said, if we finish, you know, bottom of that division, and you know, we go into another draft, and I don't know how that'll work, but we ended up getting another high draft pick next year. Well, that's another kid that you bring in on the team that's, you know, high potential. You know, I that guy could very much end up being our next potential guy, right? And we also have Jake Sanderson to pick later, that he still has time to make the team and prove himself to be the guy, right? So I don't know, man, but I think we have so much superstar guys making the team, and you know, our young prospects and young players really all have the chance to shine and be that guy for us. And it's so exciting to be a Sens fan and seeing all that.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like you said you hit the nail on the head. Like the Senators have been extremely great at drafting. There's been a lot of great players, and that's not to take away anything against Thomas Chabot, Brady Tkachuk, even Drake Batherson. Drake Batherson was a very late round pick, and I think he's Oh, I love that pick more and more every day it comes
Oh,
by.
yeah.
I think how it lines up, honestly, the first line of the future for me right now is Brady Tkachuk, Timmy Stützle, and Batherson on the first line. That's what it's looking at like right now.
Yeah.
That's going to be such a great lineup, man. And if you look at Ridly Gregg, I think Ridly Gregg, but you know, he might not be a top six player in the NHL, but he's going to be a perfect bottom six guy who can play up and down the lineup. I compare him to like not necessarily his play style, but like his usability, versatility to Jean-Gabriel Pageau, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking too,
Yeah.
and that's what I would,
Yeah.
hope to see from him anyway. Now, that would be perfect, and I think JG is a very valuable player in the NHL that, a lot of people wish they had in terms of where you can rotate him and lineup and his role that he play, and if Ridley can play anything close to that level, I think that's a great pickup for us, a great player to have in the long run for sure.
All right, so let's move on to the Senators in the farm segment. There's going to be we'll talk about a couple of little prospects here. Usually, this segment is handed off to my co-host Alex Longua, but he's not able to join us today because work happens, life happens. It's okay. So I will attempt to discuss these prospects a little bit. Before I start, I'm gonna say that I'm not the biggest prospect guy, and I will just say that right away. I'm just gonna wrap their stats, and I've seen a couple of clips on Twitter thanks to Sens Prospects. If you don't know who he is, please follow him. He's a great resource. He's amazing. He makes it so easy to keep track of Senators prospects. Follow him up if you haven't done so already. He's great. Anyways, I'll be talking about Erik Brännström, Levi Mäkelä, Vitali Abramov, and Robbie Ervinti. So Robbie Ervinti was selected as the 33rd overall pick of this year's draft, second round. And with Ilves so far, he's played 17 games and he has 7 goals and 7 assists for 12 points. If I remember correctly, just the little thing I add here, I really find it funny that he hasn't celebrated a single goal yet. I find it really, really funny. I don't really know what's behind that, but I find it funny. Some people might say it's, shows a lack of character, but no, I think it's his look. I think it's his thing, just not celebrate. So scoring goals is my thing. I'm gonna do it. Don't even celebrate. I think that's what he's thinking of,
And
And
especially at that age, right? You'd assume that it's a huge thing for him, and I guess it just shows that he's more humble than anything else
yeah,
too.
exactly. I think it's he's gonna be a great player. I'm not too sure if he is always going to keep playing with this. It is still just the start of the season, and I don't know if it's going to continue, but I'm very optimistic when it comes to Robbie Ervinti. I don't know what his projection for the NHL is. As I said, I'm not the biggest prospect guy. That is Alex's job there, but I like to see him in the Ottawa Senators in the years coming. Let's move on to Vitali Abramov. So Vitali Abramov is playing with the Jokerit of the Liga, and if I remember correctly, they are the last place team in that league. And Vitali Abramov is, if I'm right, he's injured right now. Whatever's going on, he hasn't played a lot of games. He has six games played, 7 points, 5 goals, 2 assists. So he's above point per game. I don't know what's going on, if he's injured or whatever, but he's not playing right now.
Yeah, he's injured. I'll find it. You can keep talking. I'll let you know what it is.
Yeah, sounds good. So, Vitali Abramov, we acquired him in one of the two trades of Columbus. Is either the Matthew Duchene trade or the Ryan Dzingel trade. Anyways, those trades happens in the same 48 hours. So, in my eyes, they're the same trade. So, he was acquired in that trade, and he's been great in Belleville. He's been great in La Liga so far, and I think that he is a very, very underestimated prospect. I saw a Twitter thread a couple days ago of someone asking, who are you high on and who are you low on for Sens prospects? And Vitali Abramov is one of those guys I'm very, very high on. I think he's ideally, I think he projects to be a top six winger. He's a sniper who can score goals and also pass the puck. But I like his play style. He's a little older. I think he's 21 or 22, if you want to call that old, whatever. But I think he's going to be playing in the NHL sooner rather than later. And I think he slots in as the second line left winger of the future behind Brady Tkachuk. I think the second line left winger is up for grabs between him and Alex Fomentin, one of the two. Did you find out if what he's injured?
No, it's I looked at Sens Prospects post and there wasn't anything to indicate his injury, but it might be minor.
Yeah, I think it's just whatever's happened. I hope he's okay. I hope he has a speedy recovery. Whatever it is, I hope he's okay.
For sure.
But now let's move on to Erik Brännström. In 8 games, for whatever reason, I don't have marked down where he's playing, but he has 2 goals and 4 assists for 6 points. That's pretty good for a defenseman. That's pretty damn good.
He's in the Swiss League.
Thank you. Thank you. So yeah, Erik Brännström was acquired in a Mark Stone trade a couple of years back, and sure, it sucks we lost Mark Stone, but I'm very happy with Erik Brännström. Brännström is a great guy, and those people who are saying he's a bust, he's not a bust. He's only 21 years old. Give him some damn time. You know, defensemen take a little longer to acclimate to the NHL, and I feel like he's used to playing in a bigger ice surface up in Europe, and it's transitioning from the bigger ice surface to a smaller ice surface over here in North America. I think that's his big problem. He's used to having that a lot of extra space in his game. He's used to using his space to his advantage to create plays, and now that he doesn't have as much space, it's a little harder for him. But I think as time goes on, he's going to adjust to that and be a great player for the Ottawa Senators. As for his potential, part of me wants to say I want him to be next Bobby Orr, but that's not really realistic to ask. I think he's ideally going to slot in as the second pair of defensemen for Ottawa Senators. Sure, I'd love him to play with Thomas Chabot in the first pair, but you don't want two offensive defensemen playing on the same pair. It just creates too many holes defensively. So I think if you want to spread the goal scoring, spread the depth, you have Thomas Chabot in the first pair, Erik Brännström in the second pair.
Mm-hmm.
Erik Brännström paired with a guy like, if you play Erik Brännström on his offside, on the right side, like he wants to play, imagine him playing with Jake Sanderson.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Oh, yeah. That'd
be a hell of a pairing. What are your thoughts on Brännström?
Yeah, and we all had high hopes for him too, right? And I think, you know, a lot of Sens fans all had this idea of he'd come in here and be, you know, that flashy defenseman, that Erik Karlsson clone, because that's what people said. But no, dude, like everybody develops at a different pace. And okay, he's played in the NHL and he's had sort of a bump in the road, but he's doing really well. And I think at the end of the year, you started to see him pick up, and he's picking up right where he left off last year. And this year he's doing really well. He's playing with the SCL lines in the Swiss League. So, you know, he's doing well. And the Swiss League, the SCL Tigers, it's not the same competition than it is in the NHL and the AHL. But I think for him playing a bigger role on that team, I think that's a good, you know, case for him to, you know, get better ahead of training camp and really get in shape in order to make the team here. I'm not ready to give up on him. I still see a lot of quality and potential in Erik Brännström. And I think if you put him with a guy, you know, that makes it safe for him to do the pinches. You put him with a guy who's more defensive, like Jake Sanderson, he gets to play the game that he really wants to play. And Brännström loves to join the rush. He loves to go in deep, and he, you know, he loves to pinch. So, I mean, a lot of times you'll see Erik Brännström get, you know, get beads or get sidelined because he's so much in the play. He loves to stick handle the puck. He loves to bring the puck in and carry it. But you put him with a guy like Jake Sanderson, a guy who will stay back, cover him, a defensive guy who will be there, you know, to cover his mistakes. I think it'll put a bit more trust on Sanderson, on Brännström to be able to make those plays. And I think that's what the Sens want from him. He's an offensive guy. He can really create some things for us. Like you look at him, he's a smaller defenseman. He plays really skilled. And I think it's all about finding the right pairing for him and having the right time as well for him to come into the league and, you know, play well. But you look at the team we've had, we haven't had a good defense last year, and we didn't have a good team in general, so Brännström wasn't able to perform to his abilities here. But I think on a good team, having a guy like that is very valuable. And I'm super excited, and you know, obviously it sucks to give up Mark Stone for him, but I think it'll pay off for us in the long run.
Oh, for sure. I think it's definitely a great great analysis there. I think Brännström is an elite offensive guy who's gonna definitely do great things in the NHL. I just feel like we have to give him more time. And on that note, let's talk about Levi Mäkäräinen. Levi Mäkäräinen was drafted this year in the third round, 71st overall, and he has played like an absolute god. After he was drafted, Trent Mann or someone said that it's great to draft at least one goalie every draft so you don't not necessarily drown out the other guys, but you create a healthy competition. I think that Levi Mäkäräinen provides that exact competition. Like right now, prospects-wise goalies, we have, off the top of my head, Filip Gustavsson, Joey Decord, Marcus Hogberg, Mads Sugard. Who else do we have? Am I forgetting anybody? Kevin Mandelisi.
Yeah. And yeah, you've mentioned Gustavsson, right?
Yeah. He's first generation. I think all these guys are definite future number one possibilities. But I think Levi Mäkäräinen raises those stakes enormously. Yeah. You know?
And it's so early to tell, right? Yeah, he's still very, very young. And you've seen this with Gustavsson. You know, he was a highly touted goalie at a younger age. And as time went on, he sort of struggled here in Belleville, and he hasn't, you know, played to the abilities I think the Sens hope to see from him. So, I mean, there's a case that things might change through the course of the year. But he's already playing against, you know, he's playing against men. I think he got promoted, right? So, I mean, he'll be playing against better competition too. And he's been lights out. And I had no idea who this guy was.
Either,
you know, I'm pretty mainstream. I do watch a lot of TSN. And obviously, this guy was not on any of the draft boards. Or he wasn't projected so high anyway. But I think, you know, the Sens are so deep in scouting. We've seen this with the Järventi pick and another guy, which there was better options at the board at the time, but definitely proved us wrong. So I think having a goalie like that just do the exact same thing. I mean, I'm not mad, dude. And if anything, you know, I'd love to see a shot at our different goalies try to compete for a top spot in our lineup, get that second goalie to start. I don't know, but I'm a fan of him, and I'd love to keep an eye on him and see how his development goes. But good signs all around, and if he can keep this up, then yeah, we have a terrific goalie in our system.
Oh, for sure. I think every draft has what seems to be questionable at the time but pays off in the future. The first one I can think of is back when Eric Karlsson was drafted. He was drafted at 15th overall in 2008, and people literally said, "Who? Look at him now."
Yeah.
You know, if another guy you can think of, if I remember correctly, Colin White was another one of those picks who seemed to be a little controversial. I don't remember for sure.
Yeah.
I feel like he was a little controversial at the time. Now he's one of our core players, you know?
What I remember from that was that because Travis Konecny was still on the board.
Yeah, exactly. And
Ottawa 67's guy, a lot of people were really hoping for him because they were all a fan of him when he did play here. But when we ended up taking Colin White ahead and he, you know, he didn't have the same stats or whatnot, people were disappointed because there was still obviously better players on the board. And you look at it, like you look at Jake DeBrusk maybe, and even and Travis Konecny, those guys are terrific players, right? So, you do this all the time. Like scouts do this all the time. They take the best player that they believe will fit in their lineup. And I think Colin White is still so early to tell. People develop different. Yeah, I love him too.
Big
I really
Colin White fan.
Oh, yeah.
I really like the guy. I think he's definitely going to be a top six. Some people see him as a center. Some people see him as a winger. For now, I see him as a center. But I think he's going to translate to the wing as guys start coming in.
Yeah.
We're
so deep in our centers that, you know, I don't really see him be a center long term. But then again, if you put him on the wing, then you're bumping another spot that one of our young guys could be taking. But I think what's smart is that most of our rookies, you know, we always assume that they're going to pan out to their potential, but that's not always the case. And a lot of teams, and we see this often, is that these rookies, you know, they either don't develop or they're bust. And I'm not saying that our rookies will be. I'm saying eventually some guys are going to start edging other guys out of the lineup. And I think that's just because of who deserves it more. And I think Colin White is a secure guy in our lineup. Like he got that big contract and I think, you know, meshes well in the room and he's still a very good player. I think you put him with good players on his line or on the team and he does better. And I think that's what it takes for him just to be around great players. So Story's not done with him, I don't think, and I'm very excited to see how he progresses.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a great, fair assessment. And let's move on from that. I'll talk about now. Yeah, I think Milan is a great player. I've mentioned his stats yet. In the U20 for, I'm not going to try and pronounce that team name. I'm going to butcher it. He's played 12 games so far. He has a 2.0 goals against average and a 0.925 save percentage. Godly numbers. He was promoted to Carpet of the Liga. No games played yet. I think he might have been dropped down, but I'm not too sure. But yeah, he is a great goalie this year. I'd love to see him. What's he, we can do next.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well said.
Yeah, moving on now. Let's ask you. So I was going to have a guest on, and unfortunately he was not able to come on today due to other reasons. Stuff happens, life happens. It's okay. I'll have him on at some other point. But I'd prepare some questions, and I'd like to ask you these questions instead. Is that all right? Is that all right, Nick?
Sure, man. Why
All
not?
right, perfect. So it's first, Nick and I, we met through an NES, as I mentioned earlier, but I want to know why the Sens. What is your origin story to being an Ottawa Senators fan?
Yeah, so I mean, well, obviously, I was a kid and I was born in the Sens were already a team, right? So, my dad, his father was a Leafs fan. And he was never a fan of the Leafs, I don't think. Like back in the day, there wasn't any Sens, right? So he wasn't a huge fan of the Leafs just because he's seen the rivalry between them and Montreal, and he just never quite liked the Leafs. Obviously, we're from Ottawa, right? So when the Sens did come into the league, it wasn't a hard decision for my dad to make to become a Sens fan. He was a season ticket holder for quite some time, and yeah. So when I was a kid, ever since I've been, I don't know, 4 years old, I've been watching games with my dad on the TV. I wouldn't miss one, and I just got super invested. And my dad would teach me the game. He would teach me the players and. It comes back to the jerseys, I think, as well. I was so amazed by those Sens jerseys as a kid, and I love the colors. And to this day, not, up until I think 2, 3 years ago, my room was painted red, black, and white. So, yeah, I don't know, dude. It started with my dad watching games on TV and going to see games in person. I think also maybe fall in love with the Sens a bit more, but also having players like Alfie. Spezza, Heatley over the years and seeing them with their success and going to the Stanley Cup Finals, that was so appalling to me to be a Sens fan. And I loved the fact that they were a great team and it wasn't a hard decision to make. Usually you hop on a bandwagon, right? If you choose a team, and that was a very good team back then. So for me, yeah, it was an easy decision to make. And having the fact that I get to go watch games in person was all the better for sure.
Sorry, I realized I was muted there. I like that story a lot. It's every different Sens fan has a different story, and I like your story. It's yours. You were raised to being you're raised into the hockey culture, and I really like
Oh,
that.
yeah.
It's pretty cool. Like I have a different story. I've mentioned it before. I'm not gonna mention it right now to save time. But basically, I found hockey myself, basically, and I like
Yeah.
that you had an introduction for your family, and that's super nice. Now, out of any player in the NHL, who would you want in the Senators and why? You have two picks, one realistic pick, and one out of the ballpark pick. Anybody else?
Okay. Well, look, out of the ballpark, I mean, you could pick anybody, right? But it's a player we had before, and it's someone my favorite player, someone I would love to see back on the Sens, and that's Mark Stone. I know it's never gonna happen, but I think he was just so such a great player for us in Ottawa, and I think he's so underrated throughout the league. You don't have a guy like that so often, right? And I think we sort of fumbled it there, but I'd love to see him back on the Sens. It'll probably never happen, but that's my guy. I think the Sens would be way better off with Mark Stone in their lineup. But yeah, realistic guy. That's interesting. To be honest with you, I would probably end up. I don't know here. Maybe, okay. Maybe this is sort of unrealistic, but I'd love to see it come to fruition. But a guy like Claude Giroux, maybe later in his career, he's a guy from Ottawa. Obviously, he comes back here in the summer and he trains and such. But I think he would be a great fit later on in his career if the Flyers don't want to keep him around. Great vet. And I think having those ties to Ottawa, like if you, I've spoke to Giroux before. I've seen him around because he lives in Orleans. I've seen him at the store. That guy is the embodiment of a pro. Like that guy really works hard. You talk to him and you get the sense that you know this is the real deal. This is what you aspire to be. Obviously, you know Claude Giroux. He graduated from my high school as well, so I've always been a fan of his. And I think, you know, realistically, at the end of his career, if he wanted to sign somewhere, I think Ottawa would be a great choice for him, especially with our young guys. I think having a guy like that, you can't go wrong with that in your lineup. So realistically, it might never happen, but you never know who comes out in the market. You look at Joe Thornton, he's gone to Toronto. You never would have thought his hometown, right? So maybe a guy like Claude Giroux would do the same at the end of his career. And maybe by that time, the Sens are contending to win a cup, and that might be tempting for him to come and play for, right? So we'll see, dude, but I'd love to see that.
That's a great thought there. I would love to see, yeah, that's I would love to see Mark Stone, Brigachuk, and Timmy Stützle. That'd be a hell of a lineup. And I'm a big fan of Claude Giroux too. I love Claude Giroux.
Yeah, played for the Olympics as well.
I find it funny because someone tried to tell me earlier that I look like Claude Giroux, and personally, I don't see it at all, but I found it funny. I
I
don't remember
see
who it was. I don't remember who it was, but I found it really funny.
it. Oh, I see it for sure, dude.
Oh yeah, it was my friend Max. That's right. Yeah, it was Max. But yeah, Max, if you're listening, a shout out to you because apparently you think I look like Claude Giroux. I don't see it.
We'll start a poll on Twitter, dude. We'll get the answers.
Oh, for sure, for sure. But yeah, earlier you mentioned your story about the Sens, but what is your earliest Ottawa Senators memory?
Yeah, so that would probably go back to watching a Sens game with my dad. From what I remember, I think what really my earliest memory or what really got me into the Sens, it was the game that Alfie decked Darcy Tucker. I mentioned this on the New Era Sens podcast, but it was that game. I think he threw a big hit and then he scored right after. And I just got so pumped from that, dude, as a kid. I think it goes with my dad too. Like my dad watching TV, he's the type of guy who will scream at the refs through the TV, you know, acting like it'll do something. But at home, we were super invested in these games, right? And that was a big moment because that's our leader. That's our guy. And he goes out against the Leafs, our rivals, and throws a huge hit. And then ends up scoring a goal right after. That was incredible, and that's what really got me. I was like, you know what? I was fuming all night. I was so pumped, and I think I got so into watching the Sens after that. Basically, because Alfie was my childhood hero, I guess my you know guy I looked up to and wanted to be. And it wasn't hard to get into the Sens, and that was for sure one of my earliest memories. And ever since then, you know, I've always stayed in touch with the Sens as well.
That's an interesting memory. I remember you telling that story. Now another question is, out of all the possibilities for captaincy, who do you think is most likely and why?
You know what? I'm a huge fan of Kachuk. I'm a huge fan of Kachuk. I'd love to see him be the leader. I believe that's the case. I think he's really, you know, pushing for the Sens to pick him as the captain. I'm still not sure. I don't know which route they'll take because obviously there's good options there with Kachuk and Shabbat, and you could wait a bit with Stislev if that pans out or whatnot. I'm not sure. But I think right now it comes to two options, and it's either Shabbat or Kachuk. And these guys are the face of our franchise. You've seen it in the when they did their promos with the new jerseys, they really promoted those two guys, right? So I think, you know, and Ian Mendez on our podcast, he made a real good point. He said, what about a co-captaincy?
And I never really thought about that, but it's been done before, obviously. And you know what? That would probably put a lot of the arguments out there to rest. And I think that could work. But if I'm looking at it personally, I would lean Tkachuk just because I think he's more of an outgoing guy. I think he's more talkative and he's more out there, and you know, he just seems like a leader. And Shabbat just looks a bit more reserved. But you don't know what goes on in the dressing room, so this is all speculation, and you can guess all you want. But my guess would be Tkachuk, and I wouldn't be upset with either though.
See, that's a great opinion. I'll share my opinion really quick. I like, regardless of who you go with, between those two, you can't go wrong. Personally, I'm vibing for, I'm rooting for Chabot, as he's been on the team a little longer, and I like really like his lead by example mentality. I love Brady Tkachuk, and I love his personality and everything. He's a great player. I could see him wear the A, but I want to see Chabot wear the C. I think he can really, you can see he's a very calm and composed guy. He's emotional a lot of times, which is great. You got to have emotion, but you also be able to control it. I like that a lot about Chabot. I feel that Chabot, you compare him, his leadership style a bit to Connor McDavid, where he's like,
yeah,
he'll tell you exactly how he feels, but like in a professional way, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's important to have, you know? We'll see.
All right, who is your all-time favorite senator, and who is your current favorite Ottawa senator?
So yeah, it goes back to Alfie. I think for a lot of kids here who grew up watching the Sens, there was no guy that matched Alfie and what they meant to the Sens and the city themselves, right? Alfie has always been the main guy. You look at the Sens, their best player in history, it's Alfie, no doubt. And I think that was an easy decision for me. It used to be Spezza. For the most part, it's always been Alfredsson. And I love the fact that he was such a good mentor, and he was, you know, such a pro, and he really made it easy for me to admire what kind of player he was. Like, he was so underrated, but I think for a lot of Sens fans, they all knew how much he meant to them, right? And everybody has a story about Alfredsson and what he means to them. I had no hard time picking him as my favorite player, and he still goes down as one of the best for me.
To Alfie is the elite. When you think of the Ottawa Senators, you think of Alfie first. That's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah.
I love Alfredsson. He's the best player in franchise history. He's the longest serving captain in NHL in franchise history. And if I remember correctly, he is the 14th longest tenured captain in NHL history. I am correct. I might be wrong about that, but that's, if I remember correct, that's what it was. He was captain for 14 years or something like that. And he was the 14th longest tenured captain at the time where I remember that stat.
Oh yeah,
very and, interesting.
For good reasons, he deserves to be up there on that list. But I forgot to answer your other question. My current favorite senator, besides Stützle, it would definitely be Shabbat. I'm a huge fan of Wallanen as well. He hasn't really played a full year, I guess. I love his character, and I think I've heard a few interviews from him, and I love the way he projects himself as a guy, and I think, as character goes in a room, I think that's very valuable. I love him, but in terms of skill, it's definitely Shabbat, and all around, it is Shabbat for sure.
Yeah, Rolland's a really great guy. I'm not too sure what his ceiling in the NHL is, but I definitely want to see him this year in the NHL. I think he has a great shot at the lineup.
Yeah.
And I feel it's a great list there, honestly. Now, my next question is, out of any single prospect to play opening night and full-time NHL minutes this year, who would it be and why?
I think that's, well, I mean, if you...
That's Stützle, a hard answer.
Stützle is a prospect, I guess, right? So he'd definitely be my top choice, and I'd love to see him opening night and full-time in the NHL. I think that's what they hope for him to do this season. I don't think Batherson is a rookie. I don't think he's a prospect anymore.
Yeah, I think he's still a rookie. I could still consider him a prospect because he's not playing full-time.
He did reach the level of games to not be considered a rookie, but he's still, I guess, a prospect
He hasn't reached full-time NHL minutes yet. So until he reaches full-time NHL minutes, he's still a prospect in my eyes.
Yeah, exactly. In my eyes too, but in terms of league, he isn't. But he would probably be my next guy. I love the fact that he was drafted in the fourth round and he went out and proved himself and he had a fantastic World Junior. I thought it was the sixth round. Oh, no, it was the fourth.
Let me take a look. I always thought it was the sixth round.
No.
Let me take a look here. I might be completely wrong. Yeah, fourth round. Wow, I always thought it was sixth round. My bad.
Yeah. No, it's okay. I mean, but that just goes to prove, though, a later pick like that. And he went out and really impressed at the World Juniors. He had a fantastic tournament. If I'm not mistaken, he was the MVP, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So, I mean, having a guy like that and the work ethic that he brings, and every offseason he strives to be better. He works out with Sidney Crosby and he trains with Brad Marchand, right? And I think, you know, learning from those guys and being around those guys really pushes you to be better. And as a hockey player, you know, a lot of hockey players, they grew up and they think, oh, well, if I'm not one of the best, well, you know, I'm not going to make it or whatnot. But there's so many guys that, you know, go undrafted or go in those later rounds and still end up being a very good NHL player. So I think, as a player like Batherson being drafted in the fourth round, a bit later than most, and, you know, people not having huge expectations from him right off the bat, going out to prove himself just goes to show to a lot of kids out there, you can do anything you want. You can really push yourself and you can get there if you put the work in and, you know, do what you can to get to that point. So I think, I love that. And I love Batherson and I love that he works hard. And I really think, you know, he's an exciting prospect to watch. And I'd love to see him full time in the NHL this year.
That's a really, it's a nice, yeah, I like that. Yeah, I'm very sold in Batherson too. A lot of people see him as a center, some people see him as a winger. I'm not too sure where I see him as that yet. Like, I think he's definitely a capable center, but I think he projects more as a right winger, first right winger of the future. And I think that's where he slots. And on that note, I want to thank you for so much for your time. It's nice to have you join the podcast, and I'd love to have you on future. Obviously, you're a new part-time co-host, and it's going to be fun talking more Sens with you, you know?
Yeah, for sure, dude. I'd love to be back, and we'll keep talking all the time, right? You're a producer on the on our podcast, so no problem. You'll come on ours, and you know, again, we'll do the same for sure. Yeah, let's do it, dude.
Yeah, I have to correct myself. We're not talking more Sens. We're talking some Sens.
Well said.
I had to there. Yeah. There you go. With that being said, you can follow me on Twitter at some Sens. You can follow or at Jacob LeRevere. You can follow Alex at Alex Longua. And last but not least, you can follow Nick @Dumoulin_Nick.
Awesome.
That's all for this week's episode of Talking Some Sens. We'll see you next time. Go Sens, go.